Get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Isaiah 61. DC had no idea what I was going to preach on today. I love it. He's, he even told me in the beginning, he said, Dad, if I knew you were going to put that up there, I'd have changed the first song. I said, no, it was perfect. Isaiah 61. Here you go. I'll put it all the way up. Let's see. There we go. I've been knocking on somebody's door this morning. Y'all ready for me to knock on the door? God's got this. The very powerful way God's got this. Here we are. Isaiah 61. Stand for the reading of the word. Isaiah 61. Verse 1. You got your Bible saying in?
Amen.
You don't say on me?
On me.
Look, if you said on me, find somebody beside you and say, let me look on with you. I have guys in the detention center all the time and say, can you give me a Bible? And I hand it to them and say, can you give me another Bible? I said, why? They said, because I can't read it. I looked down and said, well, no wonder the thing just, yeah, here we go. Isaiah 61, God is so good.
All of God.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison of them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Somebody needs to hear that right now. Amen. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Stretch forth your hands this way. Ask God for a special touch and anointing. Father, we thank you, God, for this service so far, Lord. We thank you, God, the way the Spirit was moving in the praise and worship. We thank you, God, for the people that are here, Lord. We thank you for those that can be here that you know why. Lord, I ask you to touch them. Lord, the people that have other obligations and they're working or whatever, bless them where they're at. And those, Lord, let me get candid. Those that just lost the desire, bless them. And Lord, bring them back and let us beat them up, God. You bless them and bring them back. And when we see them, Lord, help us to be nurturing, not nasty. In the name of Jesus, we love you. And we praise your name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody, look at them. The past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. You know, I'm about to put it up here because last night was crazy. I lost songs. I lost everything. I was trying to get this together, and I went counseling somebody for well over an hour. And it was just, everything was going on. I thought it had calmed down, and then it got crazy again. But, hey, wham.
Yeah.
That's right. Wham. You know, I thank God that I could do that. I'm not complaining. I thank God that I can do that. All right? So I'm going to put this up here where y'all can even see this, too. Ready? I usually put this up here where only I can see it. I'll let y'all see it. Y'all can read it with me. Then y'all can decide if it's a good joke or not. Ready? At Sunday school, they were teaching how God created everything, including human beings. Little Johnny, there's little Johnny right out there. Little Johnny seemed especially intent when they told him how Eve was created from one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down as though he were ill, and she said, Johnny, what's the matter, young boy? Little Johnny responded, I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife. All right. Again, we're still trying to figure all this out. Still bear with us. It's beautiful. It's doing wonderful. How did the music sound today?
Wonderful.
And the singing, of course, is always.
Awesome.
Amen. All right. So here we're going to talk about the exchange. Some of y'all are here today. You really need to listen carefully, but not just listen to this message. You need to get it in your spirit, get it in your heart, get it in your soul. Because somebody in here, matter of fact, there's many in here that need an exchange. And let me just ask this question. How many gets tired of the same old, same old? Amen. I get tired of it. I like God to do something fresh and something new in my life. The problem is God wants to do something fresh and something new, but we're so busy clinging to the past that we cannot go forward. You know, I like playing. I went to a game last year, and the coach was not there, the first base coach. So Daniel said, Danny, will you play first base? And I said, sure, first base coach. I'm up at first base. And I like to play at rest. And so I had them girls way off the base. I mean, I had them way off. And I had them girls run. Come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. And finally, Daniel said, Danny, just sit there and look at it. I said, okay, son. So the next inning came up, and I was just standing there. And they lost the run. And they stand up and said, Daddy, why didn't you do something? You said, I said, you told me just to stand there and look pretty. Do you want me to coach or do you want me to look pretty? Which one?
In the middle.
In the middle. That's right. All right, you've seen me coach, you know I don't look pretty. Amen. All right, so here it goes. Some of y'all are standing on first base and clinging to first base so hard, God's calling you to second, but you can't make it because you won't let go of first base. Let that one settle in. Well, first base, you're safe. On first base, nobody's going to get you. But first base, you can stand there all day long, and you've not made any errors. You ain't made any runs either, but you haven't made any errors. Some of us in our life right now, you think, I'm safe on first, you haven't made any runs, but you haven't made any errors. And you say, well, at least I haven't made any errors, so God has to be satisfied. Well, I'm pretty sure that he's richer than that you haven't made the errors, but he don't want you standing on first base. Amen? He's more aggressive than I am. He wants you to run. He wants you to step forward, but in order to get to the next base, you got to let go. So there's got to be an exchange. And if you don't get this exchange going, your life many times can seem like it's over. Let's just look a little bit. I want y'all to look really, really good and pay attention because, again, we're getting used to all this, and it's really good. I love it. But I want y'all to watch this. Think about this now. In Luke 16 and 21, you can turn there if you want to. That's okay. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you about it. Jesus unrolls the scroll by Isaiah. Now, you got to understand something. They didn't have a Bible like we have with chapters and verses. They had a scroll. And the scroll many times wasn't even separated. So here comes Jesus. He's going to read at the synagogue. He takes the book of Isaiah, which was a scroll, and he unrolled it. And it's amazing because he unrolled it to Isaiah 61:1. Now, you got to remember something. This is very prophetic because he could have played the same. He could have got Genesis. You know, he could have got Exodus. But no, he got Isaiah. And he got deep into Isaiah. And he opens it up. And he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to put back together things that have been torn all to pieces. And then, so he reads Isaiah 61 aloud. And after he reads it aloud, once he gets through, he sits down. Everybody's looking at him. What is he trying to prove? You see, then he said this, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He done jumped off first base. He done made a quick move. He made a very powerful move. You see, he wasn't just reading ancient history. He was declaring a present tense promise that he looked for in all these years, and now it's here. Isaiah 61, let's look at it again. Here we go. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, again, let's go back to Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to give them, listen, I broke this down into some more English-like words. To give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Come on, let's go. There we go. Faint spirit. That they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now remember, this is Jesus talking. He's not reading some ancient text and saying one day it's going to happen. Jesus was saying it's happening right now in front of you. And I'm going to make a bold declaration. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Remember that? He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Doesn't mean go by and say, stop, quit, blah, blah, blah. No, what it means is, if you give the word of God, let the word of God have the power, the word of God will bind, and the word of God will loose. But here's the most important thing about this verse. I want you to think about it. This text not only has Jesus' name on it, it's still got your name on it. It's you. Not just Jesus. Jesus said, greater things are you going to do than I did because I go to my Father. So when you look at this, I want you to think about this. Are you sitting back letting your past beat you to death? Are you letting your past grab you and pull you back? Are you on first base and scared to go to second base? Watch. In this scripture, there are three divine traits. Remember this. He said, I will restore to you the years of the locust. How many like to know? How many had some years stolen? How does that know that God wants to restore it? I don't mean just some garden variety. I mean, God wants to restore what Satan and the world and even yourself has stolen. So here goes. If you go ahead and shout, brother. You go ahead and shout. If that, you need to shout, brother. All right, let me just sit down here for just a minute. I'm going to sit down for a minute. All right. There's three divine traits. Now, we look in the Old Testament. It says, I want to give you garland for ashes, the oil of gladness for mourning, the garment of praise for faint spirit. Now, watch this. In the Old Testament, where you see that word for means in the place of. Okay? It's the operative word here. It's the same word used in Genesis 22. When Isaac was getting ready to have a knife plunged into his heart by his daddy, and God gave him a ram for his son instead of, in place of. So God wants to give you today. Y'all say today. Today. Say it again. Today. All right. He wants to give you a crown for ashes. I'm going to go into this and explain this a lot more as we go along. He wants to give you oil of joy for mourning. And he wants to give you praise for a dimming spirit. Now, again, I keep using different different. It's the same words. It's just in modern vernacular. So I want to do this now. Now get ready. I want you to watch this. Don't miss this. Ready? God doesn't want to patch up your old life. You hear me? God don't want to patch up your old life. God wants to substitute it entirely. Some of y'all need to hear that very loudly right now. Amen? How many's ever had a retread time? You stop saving money. I got a retread. Do you see the retread behind you?
Yeah.
Amen? Some of y'all are riding around spiritual retreads. And God saying it's time to get you some spiritual Michelins. Amen? Leave the retreads alone. So here it is. Get ready. I hope I won't keep you long today, but if I do, okay. Y'all said take your time, Pastor.
Take your time.
Okay, y'all heard that, didn't you? All right. So isn't that beautiful? Oh, it's awesome. All right. There's a crown, and that's ashes falling down or rising up from that crown. So he said, I will give you beauty instead of ashes. Why? Beauty in place of for your ashes. What in the world is he even talking about? Well, ash, that word ash, in the Old Testament, is the residue left. It's like, that's where we get charcoal from. Amen, from ashes. It's like the residue left when everything you loved has been burned. In ancient times, in Israel, ashes were a universal sign of grief, destruction, and total loss. How many times have you gone before God and said, God, I'm totally lost in what's going on right now? I feel like the rug has been pulled out from under me. Like Job said, God, I feel like you fooled me. I feel like you tricked me, God. Do you see where I'm at? And God says, that's not where I'm going to leave you. He says, because I'm going to give you beauty for those ashes, but you're going to have to do something too. That word beauty is crown. It's an ornament of glory placed on your head by God himself. One of the words in the Hebrew is turban. And a turban is what was worn by the high priest when he was ordained. But also, the turban was worn by a bride. Think of the veil that a bride wears when she comes up. That's what he's talking about. We are his bride. We are his. And he does not enjoy our pain. He does not. But sometimes we enjoy it more than he does. I'll go on just a little bit further before y'all get upset. You see, yes, there's ashes. But God will never leave you in that rubble. He will crown you. He will crown the place that once held your deepest grief. Did y'all hear me? That's time shout right there. God will crown the place that once held your deepest grief. I still think you heard. Come on. Y'all say it with me. Say this. He will crown the place that once held your deepest grief. Wow, that's powerful. God is awesome. So look, again, let's look at this. He's going to give you beauty instead of ashes. Here it comes. Y'all ready? I hope you got some steel toes on. Here it comes. If you decide to throw fruit, make sure it ain't canned fruit. Ready? Where did disappointment train you to stop expecting you?
Step there for me. You reached out, got slapped. You reached out, you got slapped. You took a step forward, you got four back. And eventually you said, if I step forward, it's going to hurt, so I'm just going to stay back here so I don't get hurt anymore. And eventually, disappointment trains you to stop expecting you. You see, I see guys all the time in the detention center. They do that. But they're behind bars. What about Christians that are sitting on the pew? What about the ones that are saying, God, we love you, we're here for you, and we do all we can to make you happy with us, God? What about those people? We're not behind physical bars, but we find ourselves behind emotional bars because of that disappointment trained us to not expect any better. So now, the Bible said, right here, the Bible, watch, y'all love this. This is so cool. The Bible says he restores my soul. Now, you've heard me say it many, many times. Let me explain this. Sheep. You know, God calls us his sheep. Isn't that cute? Little puppy was it? We're so cute. God didn't call us. You know what God called us sheep? Honestly? Because sheep is the dumbest animal on earth. A sheep will walk in the water and keep on walking until it drowns. It doesn't have enough sense to turn around. It'll drown. It'll follow, or just all it's going to do is hear a noise, and all of them will take off running and run right into the path of the wolf or the lion. And while they're dying, the rest of them will just look at it and cry until it's their turn. One thing that happens to the sheep, because they're so woolly, sometimes they just get their belly full. Sometimes the dew gets on them. But whether it's their belly full or the dew gets on them, they will fall over on their back. And the sheep cannot get back up on its own. So the sheep lays on its back and just pushes the legs like this. And while it's doing all this, gas builds up inside us. And internally, it explodes and dies. That is. And so what happens is the shepherd comes along and picks up the sheep and puts it back on his feet. And when the shepherd puts it back on his feet, it's called restoring the sheep's soul. Some of y'all in here are on your back. You've been knocked down more than once. And you're trying to get back up. You might have even tried to stop getting back up. You just laid there. And God wants to come along and pick you up and put you back on your feet. He wants you to start dreaming again. He wants you to start believing God again. He wants you to know that God's got more for you than what you're fighting for right now. But you got to let God restore your soul, pick you up, and set you back on your feet. So here it is. The oil of joy for mourning. Now, mourning in the Hebrew is very powerful because the Hebrew word for deep, inconsolable mourning, grief so heavy that it bends you. You ever felt that way? I have. Many times with the loss of my family, I didn't know what to do, what to say. I would just lay on the floor and just say, God, I don't know what to say. Lay my face in the Bible and just say, God, minister, you got to do it. I don't have anything. I don't know what to say. I have nothing to say, God. I need you to say it for a minute. That's the kind of mourning that it's talking about. And God sees you in these times when you're bent over from being beat. You're bent over for going through the hard times. You're bent over because everything has been so hard. So watch this. God says, I want to give you the oil of joy. Now, the oil of gladness, an anointing of exuberant joy. So God pours his joy directly into the place of your deepest grief. The Bible says in Revelation, it says, that at the end of Revelation, it says, he'll wipe away all the tears from your eyes. There's going to be tears. Everybody says it's a place with no more tears. Yes, it is. Revelation, there's going to be a place with no more tears. What about if we stand at the white throne of judgment and we see one of our parents or one of our brothers or our spouse going to the white throne of judgment? You think we're going to go, yay, glory! It's going to hurt. It's time for this. The Bible says God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. Meaning, literally, go to your place of your deepest grief and replace it with the oil. Some of y'all in here right now have got a lot of grief. And you need to know that God wants to replace it with the oil. He wants to do something in you that you maybe have never felt before. And today, I promise you, today, if you've never felt it, today is your day. Amen? Say it with me. Today is your day. Now, I want you to say today's my day. Today is my day. Glory. Give the Lord a hand clap. Let's pray. Now, here's what you got to remember. Your warning is not permanent. It's the address where God delivers your joy. Think about that. So here we go. It says, he's to affirm my joy in the dancing, Psalm 3011, a garment of praise instead of a dimming spirit. Dimming spirit means a spirit. I wrote a bunch up here, and I want you to see this. I want you to really get in your spirit here. Watch this. A dimming spirit is a spirit growing faint, smoldering, nearly extinct. God answers with the garment of praise, a garment of praise wrapped around you. Watch this. Praise doesn't wait until you feel better. Praise is what restores the fire. Can somebody praise him right there? I mean, praise him. Come on! Father, we accept, Lord. We accept, Lord. You accept our praise. And we will accept your spirit upon us, God. We thank you for it. You see, put on the garment. Oh, listen to me. Put on the garment and the feeling will follow the act of worship. I see people come to church and they look like they've been sucking on a dill pickle. They look like a monkey chewing briars. Everybody's going, praise God, praise God. And they're going, I mean, it's like, what are you doing? When I feel it, I'll start showing. And God says, you show it. And you'll soon feel it. Amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. Be honest with yourself. God, ask God, am I parked right here? Go ahead. Take a minute. God, am I parked right here? Just say it out loud. God, am I parked here? You see, praise is more than a feeling, it's a garment. So here we go. The ultimate challenge. We're getting ready to get through. I said, getting ready. Getting ready to get through. Yeah. The ultimate exchange, where every trade was finalized. You see, Jesus became ashes, devastation, grief, so that we can receive the crown. He took your mourning so that you can have the oil of joy. He wore the spirit of heaviness so you can wear a garment of praise. Calvary is the greatest exchange in history, and it still has your name on it. You didn't earn it. You reach up and you receive it. So here it goes. Ready? Here's the exchange. I love this. God, cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. Psalm 55. So here it goes. Ready? Here it is. Let's get a thing. Where you go? Bring your ashes. It requires a action. I expect. See, you send an attention center. While you're waiting for your trial, hope you get the right lawyer. Don't let me charge yours. The charges will be dropped. You're going to get time served. You're going to get a lot of time. And I see people with a lot of ashes. Pain. Pardon. There is many in here today. The basket into your pockets, out on the table. For security, sir. You didn't be out of the bones. A lot of hopes, a lot of dreams, a lot of promises broken. Inside those ashes are pain. Part of it. Suffering. The story changed midstream. What you expected did not happen. What you were looking for did not take place. Everything you bet it all on this number five, you bet it all on number five, and number five rolled up. It didn't happen. And you're in here today holding on to that pain. That grief. And you won't let go. You see, God says, bring your ashes. If you want to see a difference in your life today, you got to bring this. Let me give you a chance in a minute. You're going to have to bring this. And you got to do something that you may have never done before. And that's given. Oh, I'm trying it. No. Give it. And walk away from it. And watch what it'll do. You see, you cannot receive the beauty if you're still clutching the ashes. Let's really go deep now. Everybody go deep? God's not asking you to pretend that your pain's not real. He's asking you to bring in all your brokenness, your grief, your burned down dreams, and lay it and see it. See, what you've been going through does not disqualify you. All it does is qualify you, not disqualify you for this exchange. But you gotta let go. You say, what are you talking about? I can tell when you let it go. I can tell when I let it go. And I can tell when I pull it back. Get a good service going, I lay it down, and after the service, I ride down the road, and I think about, whoa, I'm used to hurting right now. I'm gonna go back and get it. Because I'm used to that pain. I can adjust to the pain. I can adjust to the screen. You see, the altar's not for perfect people. If it is, I don't think they'd be up here. The altar's not for perfect people. It's for people carrying ashes who are ready to trade. Now, will you be honest with yourself today and say, God, I'm still carrying I'm still carrying that grudge. I'm still carrying that heartache. I'm still carrying that anger. I'm still carrying that unforgiveness. I'm carrying a lot of things, got a lot of garbage that is all of it is ashes. Are you ready to literally give it to God? You see, get ready, here it comes. I want you to watch this. Listen carefully. I get to sing the blues. There it goes. Come on. Come on. There we go. See those ashes? Watch now. This is going to be powerful. You got to listen. Ready? Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, all that weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. But sometimes, listen to me, sometimes the ashes feel too familiar. The pain you know, but the promise you don't. You know the pain because you live in it. You know the pain because every time you try to step away from it and claim that promise, the pain pulls you back. You've heard me talk about the crab in the barrel syndrome many, many times. If Benny was here, he could tell you, when you're catching crabs, you ain't got to put a top on that barrel. You throw those crabs in that barrel, if one starts trying to get out and get free, the other will grab it and pull him back down. You start getting free from your pain, you start getting free from your ashes, you start moving. And the other pain and the other grief, the other stuff that you've learned to operate or to function in this dysfunction, pulls it back down, just like the crab in the barrel. You see, sometimes we hold on to our ashes not because we love the pain. Listen carefully, but because the pain is all we know. And when you get to that point, grief can become an identity. Brokenness can become a home. I remember, I won't say what church I was pastoring. Wasn't here. It was a long ways away from here, but I was pastoring a church. And my clerk had three sons. Of course, one of the sons, he had the opportunity, but he didn't take it. He wound up going a bad way and got messed up. But two of the sons felt compelled to go into ministry. Well, one went to ministry while I was there. And the other was talking to him about the ministry. But he just seemed to always have a dark cloud over his head. Listen carefully. He had a dark cloud over his head. And every time he would start and turn loose, he would climb back and walk out from that cloud. He'd walk back under the cloud. One day, I noticed his truck. I said, something's wrong. It's there for him to take. He's so distraught. What is going on? I looked at his truck, and his license plate said, and I'm not kidding, it said doorman. And so I pulled him over to the side and said, brother, this is crazy. What? Who put doormat on a license plate? He said, a few years ago, my wife decided to leave. But not only did she leave me, she ran over me like a steamroller and took everything I had. And I felt like a doormat. And so I felt so much like a doormat watch. He didn't realize it. It had become his identity. And even had on his license plate. It took a while, but we finally got doormat off that license plate. So I said, what's this? When suffering has been your companion for so long, let me get up here, if you're there, it is. When suffering has been your companion for so long, the thought of letting go feels like, feels less like freedom and more like, listen, losing a piece of who you are. You see, God's not asking you to forget about the pain. He's not asking you to forget that. He's asking you to stop building your life around what burns down. Quit. Quit building your life on the ashes. Quit. Because I promise you, that is not a firm foundation. On the way up here this morning, I got behind two cars. Matter of fact, right now, I've got a contact time. I'm kidding. I got behind two cars this morning. They were chunking at me, I'm telling you. That skunk wig was about to knock me out of my seat. I couldn't wait to pass them. And of course, they didn't care. I went by them in a minute. Yeah, that's right. What's going on, dude? So watch. Familiarity is not the same as safety. Ashes cannot keep you warm. So watch this. Here we go. Ready? Get ready. We're getting ready to see something here. And get ready to pull you up here. Because we're gonna get together. We're going to do something. Ready? I've been asked a question. Get ready. Here comes another one. Get your steel toes out. See those ashes? Here it is. Come unto me, all ye that labor, weary and burdened, heavy laden. Again. So ready? Are you still wearing mourning clothes? God never asked you to heal. Dormant came to me every week with a veil on. His name wasn't Dormant, man. I won't tell you what his name really was. But every week, wherever we met, he had that veil. Because he was still wearing the mourning clothes. And he said he was run over like a steamroller. Do you still live in your mourning? Do you still live in your ashes? Do you keep the lights turned down? Do you keep the shades pulled so nobody can come in and see? What it's like to refuse to get rid of your ashes? He says in Psalm 30:11, you turn my mourning into dancing. So I'm getting close. I'm getting close to the roof. So first coming up here. So let me just finish real quick. I'm trying to finish quick. Ready? The fear of what comes next is a big problem. When trust feels like a risk you cannot afford. Letting go is terrifying when life has taken so much from you. It's taken so much that you're scared to let go of what little bit you have left. The last time you trusted, you were disappointed. The last time you hoped, the door was closed. So now, you hold the ashes tighter. Not because you want to. You're afraid to let go. Because you feel like if you are to open your hands and let go, there'll be nothing left. So, faith doesn't require you to see what's coming. Amen? It only requires you to believe that the one who is calling you forward is worth following into the unknown. God does not ask you to understand the plan. He asks you to trust the plan. Let's move a little bit further than we all do. Then we're going to come up here. Then we get ready to come up here and pray. In just a minute. So, the moment of release. Unless a grain falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. There's a moment when you get tired of carrying these ashes. There's a moment when you're tired of scared to open your hand and grab what God's got because all you've got is those ashes and you're, oh no! Afraid. You're going to lose something. So, when letting go becomes an act of faith, there comes a moment when you must decide, will I keep holding on to what's already gone? Or will I open my hands for what God is bringing? Release is not a single act of courage. It's a daily choosing. Some days, you feel like the ashes are just slipping through your fingers and you want to grab them back. This is not a failure. This is a process. But every time you open your hands again, you're saying to God, I trust you more than I trust my pain. Yeah. I want you right now to hold your hand up. While your fist up. Hold your hand up. Nobody's got to know what that pain is. Nobody. It's you and God. I want you to put that pain right there. Put those ashes right there. I know you got it. You brought it with you. When I count to three, I want you just to let it go. Just drop it. God, we crushed you. One, we're going to give it to you, God. Two, we're not going to take them back this time. Three, let it go. You might not have felt the relief yet, the release yet, but I promise you, in the days to come, you're going to go, wow, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling lighter. I'm feeling something in me that I haven't felt in a long, long, long time. God, not death, do us his. Surrender's not giving up. It's giving over. Now, ready? Here's the question. I just did it. Let me ask you now, watch. Wait, we go back. Come back. Oh, have mercy. Let's see here. There it is. What are you gripping that only God can heal when released? We just talked about it. What are you holding? What is it? The Lord restored Job when he prayed for his friends. So here it goes. I'm real quick, doing five things, then we're going to come up and pray. All right? Here it is. All right. Ready? You got a pencil and paper, write this down. Of course, I know the bands are half you. Bands to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. I could have split this in two pieces, but I just didn't want to leave you any part of this without the rest of it. So that's why it's taking a little longer, but it's going to be okay. I promise. You told me I could preach as long as I wanted to, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Five steps to exchange. Walking into what God has already prepared. Number one, acknowledge your ashes. Acknowledge your ashes. Name what has been broken or what has been lost. Number two, bring them to God. Lay your grief and pain in his feet. Number three, release the grip. Let go. Surrender what you've been holding on to. Number four, receive the exchange. Accept the crown. Accept the oil. Accept the garment. Quit walking around in your death belt. Accept what God's got for you. It's here. He already paid the price. And number five, walk in the new. Go forward as an oak of righteousness. The exchange happens when faith meets surrender at the altar. You ready to stand? Y'all go ahead and stand up. Stand up. Did you come here? Get ready to play something? Or play, get ready to play it back there. Play it low, though, because I got a little bit more to go. The fifth one, was walk in the new. Walk in the new. Walk in the new. They shall be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Oaks of righteousness in Isaiah 61:3. That's God's destination for everyone who makes the exchange. Not a willow bending in a storm. An oak, ancient, unshakable, deeply rooted, planted intentionally by God himself. You're not just being healed, you're being established. Amen? So, let's see here. Can you put it back up? Good. Here it is. So, you are the planting of the Lord. Get ready. We're going to do some declarations. I'm going to do some declarations. I want y'all to stand with me. And then we're going to come up. First, we're going to do the declarations. Then we're going to come up. Ready? Do these with me. Ready? I am anointed by the Spirit of God. Say it. I am anointed by the Spirit of God. Say this. My broken heart is being bound up by the healer. I am released from every captivity that held me. The Spirit of God glorifies himself through my life. I am an oak of righteousness planted by the Lord. I receive beauty, joy, and praise for my ashes. Now, I want y'all to start waking your way up here. Start making your way up here. Do what you're going to do to see me. I got to have this back in a minute. Everybody can see it. Let's play some music to start. Yeah. Come on up here. When you come up there, lay your ashes down at the altar. Lay them down at the altar. I want you to listen carefully. Listen carefully. The Bible says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Amen. So here's, we're getting ready to come to the exchange. Whatever you carry here today, the grief, the loss, whatever's burned in your life, burned down dreams, years that the enemy stole, God is not finished with your story. Say, God is not finished with my story. He's ready to take, he's ready to make the trade. Y'all get ready. Here comes the trade. Come with your ashes. Leave with his beauty. If you're hurting or broken, this moment is your exchange. Do not leave without this exchange. Now, I want you to look up at this altar. Look up here, and I want y'all to repeat this with me. Get ready. Get ready. Y'all sing this with me. This is the prayer of exchange. And then I want you to pray for how you want to. Ready? Here it comes. Ready? Stand with me. Father, we come to you right now at this altar. Bring in our ashes, every charred piece of what is burned, every remnant of what we have lost, every grief we've been carrying, every shame we've been hiding, every wound we've been nursing, we are opening our hands. We are releasing it. We are done carrying what you have already paid for. We surrender our ashes. We receive by faith the crown that you purchased for us at Calvary. We receive the oil of joy poured out by your Holy Spirit every morning, place, now. Now you're in it and you're living it in a very powerful way. Now go ahead and start praying. Just go ahead and start praying. I'm going to anoint everybody. I want to anoint everybody here today. Go ahead and pray. Any way you want to pray, you pray. God's got something special. God's got something special for you. God's got something special. And we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We're giving you our ashes now. We're giving our ashes to you. We're laying them down in the name of Jesus. We're laying them down. Father, these ashes are yours. We're tired of carrying them. We're tired of carrying them. We are not doormats. We're tired of carrying them. We're not going to carry them anymore. These are yours today. They are yours. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch us, Lord. Whatever it is that we need today, God, minister.